Amen. Thank you, Elijah. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Our sermon tonight is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through chapter, well, originally it was going to be through chapter 4, 1, and as I got into this, I quickly abandoned that plan. reality struck early this time. And as you're turning there to Ephesians chapter 5, I want to just share a little bit of what I'm observing in the Lord's ministry to us tonight. We are looking not just at, as the sermon title says, Christian character in our roles, but because I've narrowed it some to verses 18 and 19, because Colossians chapter 3 through chapter 4, verse 1, is really three couplets. And we're gonna approach one of those tonight, another one next time, and then the third after that. So next time it's children and fathers, and after that bondservants and masters. But tonight, wives and husbands. And so, along with this, you know, considering marriage and considering our society and considering where we are with America's view of the home and of what a family is. I don't know if you've been watching the Olympics, and over I've seen a particular commercial that goes something to the effect of what a family is hasn't changed, but what one looks like has. And not all families, by the definition of, I think, our culture now, not all families have a husband or a wife necessarily, or children. And it's just up for your own definition at the moment is what it seems. And then I'm thinking of how we as Christians ought to live in a way that honors the Lord before the world, that they could see an abundant life lived in obedience to the Lord and see there's hope in this life, there's joy in this life that the Lord has given us. And yet, don't we struggle in marriage, in the church as well? Now, this is a tough area. And so we sang, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. And we need the Lord's Spirit in our marriages, in our homes. We need the Lord to be at work in our homes. This week has been, you know, as you start, when you set out to overcome something in your life and the Lord is teaching you, isn't that when the adversity comes and the attacks come in those areas? Don't fear for my marriage right now. That's not what I'm getting at. But I was studying the whole family thing. And then this week I felt just like a failure as a father. You know, it was like one of those kinds of weeks. And then Elijah sang from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. These are the words of Christ. And so we thank the Father for sending his Son who taught us and said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, to come to the Lord and realize that all the burden we bear has been borne by him. You know, when I think about living the Christian life and trying to be a Christian dad this past week, it doesn't feel easy. It doesn't feel restful. It doesn't. And I think, what am I doing wrong here? And I think the answer to this is when in those moments we fix our eyes on his mercy and on his grace and remember that all that we are trying to be, he has already been for us. So that it's not on you and it's not on me to attain a certain level of proficiency as a Christian or perfection in the Christian life in order to be treasured by God and accepted. Because we're not treasured and accepted on the basis of our beauty to him, but on the basis of Christ's beauty and his sacrifice to the Father. And so while wrestling with husbands, love your wives, and wives, be submissive to your husbands. As we think about those things tonight, let's think about the sufficiency of Christ for us in these things, and being obedient for us when we fail in these ways, and so that when we fail, we can quickly turn to Him in thanks and confession and be restored and go forth in joyful obedience again because of what He's done for us. So I've asked you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and so I better get there sooner or later. So now's a good time. But before I do, as you're turned there, I want to read to you the scripture passage from Colossians chapter 3. Because I want you to see that Paul says the same thing and elaborates on it more fully in Ephesians chapter 5 through Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9. Okay, and this gets back to something we just sang about putting on the gospel armor. Okay, so here are, listen for the categories, the roles that God lays out for us in Colossians chapter 3. Where he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And so now, if you would look at Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 21, just before the new section, as many Bibles divide it, verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then in verse 22, who's it addressing? Wives. And then verse 25, husbands. And in chapter 6, verse 1, children. And chapter 6, verse 4, fathers. And verse 5, bondservants. And verse 9, masters. So these same groups are being addressed. And they're being addressed in the same order, even. And as we look at it, we look at categories, and we all fit into these roles in some way or another. We are or could be wives one day. We are or could be husbands one day. We are or were children. We are either a bondservant in some respect or a master in some respect. And so these things apply to us. But they also apply to us because we have brothers and sisters with whom we are one body who are in these roles. And so if you hear this week or next week or the following week a message that doesn't seem to address you, understand that you are to be of one accord and one mind and one heart with people who are in these roles. And so this is a great opportunity for you to understand what God is calling them to do. I will never be a wife. But I know wives, and I know now what God is calling them to do, and that's what I need to pray for them in. Okay? And so the same thing goes for those other roles and responsibilities. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, what I want us to see is that just after Paul has called upon the Ephesians to obey the Lord as wives, as husbands, as children, as fathers, as bondservants, as masters, you see Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, in that section. In the context of us being Christian in our homes and in and out of our homes in these roles, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or the schemes or the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see that our homes, in a sense, are the battleground. This is where we'll, not so that we'll fight one another, but we fight our adversary. We fight these principalities, these powers the rulers of the darkness of this age, we fight them in our homes. And we need to put on the whole armor of God so that we can be Christian in our homes. How important is this? As a father, I know, and as a husband, I know some of that battle and some of that struggle in my own home. Just like Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And this is what we all face in our homes and in our lives. And so it's very important for us to see that we need to be on guard and armed for spiritual battle first in our homes. And so now if you would turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. We're going to just cover two points, verses 18 and 19. The first is instruction to wives. Instruction to wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. That's probably one of the more well-known verses in Scripture to our culture, because this is shocking. Because it is shocking that we would look at a verse that seems, and by an unbelieving culture looking on, and by many Christians even, who misunderstand, seems to place the husband and the wife on different levels. And it does in some regard, but not in a regard of one's essence or one's value before God, but simply in one's role. It's something we need to be careful. You know, I will never understand some things. I will never understand the pain of giving birth to a child, though I've seen it 6 times. I'll never understand the grief of someone who's lost a child. I do, actually, in some regard, but I'm of a mother who has lost that child. There's a different grief that goes on there. And I'll never understand what it's like to have to submit to me till death do you part. That's a weighty thing, isn't it? For those of you who've been married for a week, you know, there comes a weight of reality of what you promised, right? Okay, it was so exciting. It is so exciting, but it's also pretty scary. You know, I've had conversations with folks who said, I've tried and I don't think this is going to work. There's just no way. That other person is unreasonable. You know, we've been there. You know, you think, and then even those who have said, well, it's going to work. I'm going to make it work. There's no out in this. I'm committed to this marriage till death do I part. Sometimes that, even in that situation, a person can come to a place where they say, well, it's not going to be ideal. I guess this is about as good as it can get. And we just set in for settling with whatever it is that we have imagined is the best this can be. Or it's a failure, but we're going to make it work till the end. Okay, this is not what God is describing for us here in Colossians chapter 3. He is showing us what a godly Christian marriage ought to be. And granted, this is a very brief summation of these things. And Paul in Colossians is just hitting some high points that in Ephesians he fleshes out a bit more, and we'll turn there again. But also Peter helps us with in 1 Peter chapter 3. And Lord willing, we'll have some time and we'll look at that. But as we look at the idea of submission, we need to understand that submission is not bondage. Submission here is not bondage. In fact, one of the things we need to remind ourselves of is that this same word, and the Greek word is hupotasso, and hupo is the word under, and then tasso has the idea of lining up or filing in rank under. It was used as a military term. Okay, So if you, and it helps me to think in terms of military rank, is the general more human than the private? No. He's got a different role, and in the military, they see very importantly the commitment that has to be made to obeying orders and filing in rank and the order that brings and the success that comes only when the structure doesn't fall apart. Okay, and so we need to understand that there is this idea of submission. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the Christians, this is not just husbands and wife, but Christians are called to submit to one another in the fear of God. And this idea is demonstrated for us, though the word's not used, but in Philippians chapter 2, where it says here, therefore, this is verses 1 to 4, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, you hear love and mercy and affection described here, and see what comes next. Okay, the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. In verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. See, the idea of putting someone above you and taking the humble place beneath that person. So just a working definition for us. Submission is laying aside one's individual rights and privileges for the glory of God and the good of another. Okay, laying aside one's individual rights and privileges for the glory of God and the good of another. It is not laying aside someone's essence. It's not laying aside someone's value or someone's worth. That is not what submission is. It is not inferiority, but in roles. It's not in essence, but in function. And we see that as we see Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, as the wife here is called again to submit, it says, to your own husbands as to the Lord. In Ephesians 5, verse 21, where all Christians are to submit toward one another, this is an individual submission to others. And the wife is called to do this in the context of a role in a covenant relationship. Okay, a role in a covenant relationship. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Precious little book that I came across is Family Practice, God's Prescription for a Healthy Home. And in this, the wife of the man who was R.C. Sproul's mentor, John Gerstner, and his wife, Edna Gerstner, had written an article for this book. And in this portion of it, the chapter is called The Woman as Wife. And she says to ladies, if you decide to enter into the state of matrimony, please add these questions to the many you will ask the man you plan to marry. And she lists three here. Will he be easy for me to obey? Do I trust his judgment? I'm sorry, two questions, those two. Will he be easy for me to obey? Do I trust his judgment? And then she says, if you start out feeling wiser than he is, there will be rocks ahead. Many, like me, would hate to be in charge with all the responsibilities it entails. If I were a husband, I would have to qualify under a verse in the Bible that scares me. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And she says, she closes with this, dear Jesus, please make me a Christian wife. My husband must bear a heavy burden, and so I must pray. Well, that was a precious perspective and wise words from a married woman to younger married ladies or who would be married. Ask those questions. Is this someone worthy of my submission? best to ask those questions early. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, I would like us to turn there, because the beautiful thing, as I was recalling that thanks, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son, it occurred to me that Jesus is the example for us in both of these points, in verse 18 and verse 19. He's the example to the wife of submission, and he's the example of the husband to love. He's the example to the wife and the example to the husband. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands." Wives, likewise. Like what? Well, what he's referring to is what he's just said in the verses previous. So if you look back up to verse 18, wives are to be submissive like this. He says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." And so this is a call to servants, which is not simply a call to wives, but a call to all of us. But Christ here is the example of someone in a situation being wrongfully treated. So even like that, the wife is to be submissive. And so he says in verse 22, "Of Christ, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for the righteousness, or for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." What a high calling. And so that's why I say, I don't know what that would be like. That is a calling that God has not given to me to live in and joyfully obey the Lord in a role that he's not called me to. And so that's why it's a matter of prayer for all of us, for those who take on the role of a wife. And it's also something that we husbands are called to. As true as it is that the spiritual natures are the same, that their positions before God are equal, and in order to function as a family as God intended, women take the place of submission. As true as that is, there are many husbands that don't deserve a loving and submissive wife. There are many of us where that is the case. And in the next verse, Paul briefly tells us what these men need to do to operate in an appropriate order in the home. And so in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. I think it's interesting to note that as we go through the family, some of us will get a double barrel on this. Okay, I'm getting it as husband and I'll get it as father as well. So we need to see that there is a heavy calling, and what Edna Gerster was praying for her husband is an important thing. And so husbands are called to love our wives, to sacrifice our own comforts and our own interests and our own hobbies for the good of our wives. We're to sacrifice those things. Again, I'd like to ask you to turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, where we see this description fleshed out a bit by Paul. He unpacks it here in Ephesians 5, verses 25 down to verse 33. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. You know that the church is the body of Christ. The physical manifestation, the earthly manifestation of Christ is the church. And in so many ways, the wife is the manifestation of the husband, of his character, of his leadership. Okay, and we need to love our wives as we love our own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each one of you in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Husbands, you see what we are called to. We are called to love our wives. And what does that look like? Well, we have that in Scripture as well. And I'd like you just to listen. You don't need to turn. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this passage that we hear so much at weddings, and rightfully so, in this context, because it's defining for us what love is, or describing for us what love is. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. You know, some of the ungodly and unbiblical view of submission is addressed right here. Of the idea of submission. That so much of what we hear about what a wife is to be to her husband is contrary to a husband who would treat his wife in these ways. That can correct our understanding of what has been so misunderstood and become scorned by the world, not only because of a hatred of the truth, but of identification of our hypocrisy when we're called to submit to one another. And so it says, love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So, we see here what is love. And do you know that Paul has just described the body of Christ, and now he turns to love. And he says, in the context of the body having many gifts, in verse 31 of the previous chapter, last verse, it says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And he sets out to describe love in these terms. Husbands, this is what we're called to. Husbands, we fail, don't we? We need the prayers of our wives. We need the prayers of our children. And it starts with us. You know, there's in Ephesians chapter 5, there's the love that the husband desires and the respect. I'm sorry, the other way around. Primarily, the love that the wife is desirous of and the respect that the husband is desirous of. And too often, we set up a scenario where if she'll respect me, then I'll show her the love that I'm called to show her. Or if he'll love me, then he would get my respect. But for now, he gets what he deserves. You know, and we can set those things up, but that's not the calling of the Lord, is it? We are called to obey the Lord in regard to what He has called us to as wives, as husbands, and later we'll see as children and as fathers. And so these are important things. And so what does Jesus do as He loves? He gives Himself. He gives of Himself. He was sacrificing Himself. You know, I have thought when I've been serving others and lovingly serving others, when I've struggled at times and things were going wrong, you know, you can think, boy, you know what else I could be doing right now? You know, I don't have to do this. I could be off having fun doing something I want to do. Right? And that's not a loving attitude, is it? But we can have that when we have to bear with someone else. We can have that attitude. You know, I could be doing something else right now. Jesus gave Himself. And what else could He have been doing instead of spending those years here on earth? What else could He have been doing? Was it any better than what? Yes. Certainly, yes. And so Christ is the example for us husbands of someone who could be doing something else, but is called by God to exercise love. And in this context, love toward your wife. You know, Jesus, when we were yet sinners, He died for us. It wasn't dependent on our respect of Him. You know, even though He knew what kind of bride He would get, think of Hosea and Gomer. Okay, even though He knew the prostitution of His bride, He went and died for her. Because He loved without regard to what He would get in return. He loved to make us the objects of His love and of His joy, that we would receive His glory. And why? In Ephesians 5, it's to sanctify her and cleanse her and to present her glorious. Isn't that it? Isn't that the example that we're given there of what Christ has done? And if we do this, we're not losing our lives, men. We're not forfeiting joy. We're not giving up our dignity because we're not demanding to be treated in such and such a way, but we are gaining what the Lord calls abundant life. We're the ones who are, in laying down their lives, save their lives. So you're not giving up on joy by sacrificially loving your wives or your families. You're doing the only thing possible so that you could gain that ultimate joy that we have in an abundant life in Christ. And so we need to repent of the selfishness that keeps us from loving our wives. We need to turn from that. And we need to live out the kind of love that is described for us in 1 Corinthians 13 and is demonstrated for us in Christ. And then it says, do not be bitter toward them. In the second part of verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. That word means to embitter or irritate or make bitter. That never happens in our homes, right? Right? This morning, I found my toothpaste. Yes, we have two separate tubes of toothpaste. Because one squeezes in the middle and one does it the right way. Okay? So we decided, you know, why fuss over this? We're going through the same amount of toothpaste, two tubes of toothpaste. Perfect. Well, someone ran out of toothpaste this morning. And so I found my toothpaste on the counter, squeezed in the middle. What was I to think, right? How did this happen? And we think of these, is it a silly thing? Yes and no. Not silly because this really is where the battleground starts, isn't it? That thing that they did. You can insert the thing. And anyone who's called to live with someone else knows how this goes in some way or another. Something happens that gets under your skin. This can happen in a week at camp. You know, I can remember as a junior camper, one guy eating chips as soon as the light went out. You ever heard a bag of chips in the dark, you know, it's quiet? Why? You know, obviously this is the time that I'm trying to go to sleep. But we have those things that embitter us, that irritate us. Right? And it's important to bring attention to those small things. Because if then we can think about love, and if then we can think, you know what, love covers a multitude of sins. She can use my toothpaste. This is my act of love today. All right. Would you listen, though, to some of the rewards and promises of having love in our lives? In Proverbs, this is just a survey of a few of these verses from Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Chapter 16, verse 13. Righteous lips are a delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. So before I repeated this matter this evening, I got permission. Because this time it went well in our home, and we just kind of laughed about it. This time. You know, we are called by God to love one another. And one last turn, and I'll ask you to turn here to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And this is the verse that the quote from Edna Gerstner referenced. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, Peter has spoken to servants and the example of Christ, and he addresses wives and he addresses husbands. And he says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." You see that we are to give honor to the wife and understanding as we live with her. You see that we're heirs together even there. You, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there's neither male nor female as and before the eyes of God. If we're in Christ, we're complete in Christ. A man and a husband is not more complete than a woman or wife in Christ. We are complete. She doesn't need a husband in order to make her valuable. She is complete in Christ. And it says that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, our prayers are hindered when we don't dwell with our wives in understanding and give them honor and understand that they are equally heirs of the grace of God in Christ. Our prayers are hindered. You remember that the Lord tells us that the sins of the fathers are visited on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. Men, husbands, we bear a heavy load. And when we sin, our wives and our children feel the pain of our sin. And the prayers that we have for the good of our children, those prayers are hindered by our own sins, and they're hindered by the way we treat our wives. So there's a song that we sometimes sing, and it's in our hymnal, number 535. And it's a prayer that asks God, "Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favor and gives his heart to Christ the crucified. How sweet to know that though his footsteps waver, his faithful Lord is walking by his side. Oh, give us homes with godly fathers, mothers, who always place their hope and trust in him, whose tender patience turmoil never bothers, whose calm and courage trouble cannot dim. A home where each finds joy in serving others and love still shines, though days be dark and grim. O Lord, our God, our homes are thine forever. We trust to thee their problems, toil and care. Their bonds of love no enemy can sever. If thou art always Lord and Master there, be thou the center of our least endeavor. Be thou our guest, our hearts and homes to share." You know, this is important that we pray this way. It's important that we pray because unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. All our efforts are in vain if the Lord is not at work building and guarding. We need him, and so we should beseech him together. We need to pray for one another in these things, that our homes would reflect the glory of Christ in them and they would honor Christ, so that our children would see it, so their wives would see it and know they are honored and know the grace of God as they have a husband who is loving them and favoring them. And that's a beautiful thing. That's what God has offered to us if we'll walk in his ways and live according to his word and make Christ preeminent in our homes. So let's pray together. Oh Lord, give us homes built firm upon the Savior. I thank you, Father, for giving Christ to us, to show us that someone of infinite value can be submissive and serve others. And so there is great honor in serving. And Lord, that same one is the example to us of infinite love, an infinite sacrificial love that is not conditioned upon the respect or the response of the ones being loved. And Lord, we are so glad to hear that as people who are sinners and people who, even as new creatures in Christ, struggle with sin that still dwells in us. And so we look forward, Lord, to the day that you'll call us home and we'll be rid of sin forever. And we will all know perfect love, and we will all know the joy of sinless submission to you. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would be powerfully at work in us, that we may take on the character of Christ in our homes as husbands and as wives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise for the benediction. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord. You're dismissed.